there is no straight line to healing. It is this journey up a mountain, and there are turns in the trail, and sometimes we slip down a little, and it's not this finite, like, yes, I'm doing well, no, I'm not. Like, it's just this constant dance as our environment and our life and our bodies change, and we're both women, as our hormones change.
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
Welcome to the Autoimmune Hour, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. I've brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted.
Thank you for joining us here on the Autoimmune Hour with Sharon Saylor. Always seek sound legal, medical, and or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio. Now, we don't want you to worry about taking too many notes, so you can join the Autoimmune Hour's Courage Club, and we'll send you the transcripts and show notes from every episode. Sign up now at understandingautoimmune.com. Now, back to your host, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And as always, it's just my honor and pleasure to be with you here on another brand new episode of the Autoimmune Hour. And we're well into our sixth year, and actually I'm coming up on the anniversary of my diagnosis. I never know quite how to feel about that. I mean, I'm overjoyed that I am in that position of optimizing my health every day, and the healing is way beyond any of the stats I was given that first time with the diagnosis in those first early months, where you get all the scary statistics about where you're headed. And I'm living proof, and so is our guest, about you don't have to be your statistic at all. So today we're going to talk about three major steps to thrive. We'll say despite. I'm not sure that's kind of an interesting word, but we'll say despite your autoimmune disease. Three steps to thriving and optimizing your health. We can say healing too, but you know, I like to think that healing is an ongoing process. It's not a destination. And so we'll talk to our guest about that tonight too. Her name is Julie Michelson. She's a national board certified health and wellness coach and a functional medicine certified health coach. And she specializes in autoimmunity. She creates amazing transformations in the lives of her clients through her coaching business. And having gone through her own health struggles, she's excited to help her clients skip all the hardship of figuring it all out and start living from that place of joy and true wellness. Julie works internationally and with remote clients coaching business. I think that's the case for a lot of us now. I just love it that we can chat from all around the world this way. And we'll talk about that a little bit too. And she's the creator of the Inspired Living with Autoimmunity Guide that helps clients change their lives. So welcome, Julie. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
And Julie is someone that a mutual friend introduced us. And that's what I love about the Autoimmune Hour is all of my friends out there around the world, they'll meet interesting people and say, you need to talk to someone. And in this case, it was a mutual friend who said, you need to talk to Julie. We chatted a little bit beforehand and I said, absolutely, you need to come on the show. Now, Julie, one of the things that you and I talked about before this show was this idea of one size doesn't fit all. And I know with the Autoimmune Hour, sometimes it can kind of sound that way. I'll have guests that come on or I'll talk about what I did for my process of going through the healing journey and continuing to optimize every day. And let's just talk about this idea because I don't want people to think that there's only one path to wellness.
Absolutely. And while it's not one size fits all, I will say there is a lot of overlap and commonality. Everybody's autoimmune illness is different. It's expressed differently. The underlying causes are different. You know, you could put 10 of us in a room with the same diagnosis. And when we get to that root cause, it might be literally 10 different root causes or 10 different combinations of root cause. So of course, the approach is going to be a little bit varied. But then I do say that there are certain lifestyle areas that all of us can be working on. And while, again, mine might look a little bit differently from yours, diet is that big one. We all look for, we want the easy And I have people ask me all the time. Yes. They just say, just tell me what to eat and I'll eat it. And I'm like, well, or they'll say, what do you eat? I'll eat that. I'm like, no, that might not be a good idea. So it is, while we do have this, you know, wealth of knowledge of how to reduce inflammation, it does come down to an individualized plan.
It does, because it has to have be a flexible, individualized plan in my mind. Because what I was doing years ago with when I first got the diagnosis is nothing like what I'm doing now. And I've really gone off from what was originally said, that you have to do XYZ with great big, you know, capital letter types of things. And a lot of those didn't work for me. Either I had bad reactions to them or nothing. You know, it was just like, well, why am I doing this? Nothing's happening. And what are some things that you share with people to be able to discern some of that, those things? Because even when we're getting, what I'll say, proper medical advice, it might not be the right advice for us.
Absolutely. And so again, it's kind of under that umbrella, right? And I do think you should be able to feel if something's working. So, you know, for those of us that have complex medical issues, which is a lot of us, sometimes there's a delay, you know, in the body. So you don't feel immediately. Say you change your diet, you know, you're not going to know the next day.
True.
Working, right?
Unless you're allergic to it, you might know. But
right. So, you know, back to that healing, and I'm with you. We are always healing, whether we have autoimmune illness or not. I mean, that's how the body works, is it's always getting, you know, insulted and it's always healing. And so even today, you know, I consider myself mostly healed, you know, still healing. And I'm with you. My plan, if you will, does not look now like it looked 4 years ago or 6 years ago or last year. Sometimes it's because things have improved so much that I get to, you know, I'll pick on diet again because it's such an easy one. You know, maybe I'm eating some foods now that I couldn't eat because my gut has healed so well. Or maybe it's like I hear an idea. What I do love about these conversations, so while it's not prescriptive, right, and it's also not across the board, we hear ideas and a lot of the stuff we can try and get that information for ourselves from our body and be experimental. And for me, that's the successful approach to healing, is having that experimental mindset. It's not, here's the prescription of how I'm going to live my life forever. It's like, here's what I'm going to try and see, you know, what my body tells me.
Oh, and you know, one of the things I love to do, and I'd love your thoughts on it, is I journal. And I've shared this on the show before, that I journal on the right-hand side of the page and leave the left-hand blank. And what I do is, oftentimes I've noticed that I'll be doing something, whether it's change my diet or a supplement or a different exercise, whatever, and I'll be feeling so good, and I'm raising my hand and tattling on myself here, then I'll start cheating. And then after a while, I'll forget, because I was feeling so good, I'll forget what it was that got me to feel so good. And then maybe I'll have a period where I'm not feeling so good and I'm like, what was I doing? And I go back to the journal and like, oh, that was it. Now, maybe I should reinstitute that. Or I sometimes have to write my memory down so I can remember what worked and what didn't work.
I think that that's a fantastic idea. I have heard you say that before and I love it. I also love leaving that space. It really more invites you, like, to purposely go back and look at what you were doing. And then the flip side of that is also kind of marking the wins and improvements, because unfortunately, sometimes we're less likely to notice the incremental improvements. But then when we look back and we're like, oh, wait, you know, my pain used to be a 7 and now it's a 4. That's a huge, you know, but it was a slow incremental improvement. So yeah, it can remind you of what you were doing that was working, right? But it can also really remind you of, you know, marking that progress, because I find that for most of us, we lose track of that because we all just want to feel well all the time. And so
absolutely.
I know,
absolutely. Yeah.
So I know, like, that's one of the things I do for my clients. And I see it across the board is I'm kind of their living reminder, you know, until I can get them journaling and really tracking of like, okay, but do you remember where you were, you know, a month ago? Like, this is an improvement.
Oh, that's critically important. My medical care team is like that too. One time I was in a flare and I was, oh, the woe is me kind of moment, you know, that we sometimes trudge through. And she looked at me and she said, when I first met you, let's say you were way down in that hole, you know, and then we've got you up and up and up and up, and you've slipped down the mountain maybe a step, but you're not in that hole. So that was a nice reminder and a nice metaphor. I love metaphors. So it was a nice reminder and visualization, like, okay, you're right. I am not where the original diagnosis came from. And it's critically important to have those moments, whether you journal it yourself or you have a coach like yourself or a trusted friend or family member that can keep you. Yeah, I know. You still want to enjoy, you miss toast or something like that. But look where you've come without whatever it is that you're missing right now. Look where you've come and how much better you feel. And I think that's important to have family and friends and coaches and a journal to be able to reflect back on. And time does have a way of getting past me for some reason. I don't know. It just seems to go by when I look back that my anniversary of the diagnosis is coming up. I'm just shocked. I'm like, how can it be? It doesn't feel like it's been that long.
That's because you're getting younger.
Of course. Of course.
That's how that happens.
Yes. I'm continuing to optimize, which is slowing the clock, I think. One of the things that I learned, and we've been talking about skirting around the idea of diet a little bit. Mm-hmm. One of the things I learned early on was I thought pre-diagnosed that I was eating a good diet, but I was traveling a lot too. So you were having to make compromises on either pre-prepared types of foods. And in my mind, I had thought, well, you know, I'm eating the basic food groups that the government tells you to eat. Like I'll have a salad. But I wasn't paying attention to, but what's in the salad?
So, or what's on the salad.
What's on the salad. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about some of the key tips that you have. We can just generalize, knowing that everybody's different, but just generalize about what really is a good diet when you have autoimmune.
Absolutely. And you're so not alone. I thought I was eating a really good diet for my whole life. And I was unfortunately eating a low fat diet my whole life. So low healthy fat too. So
yeah, me too. Yeah. I was avoiding all fats, healthy fats.
Savor evil.
Yeah.
So I like to think, you know, we did the best we could with the information we had at the time. And I'm grateful that I have new information now. And so this is one of those areas where while, you know, depending on your food sensitivities and your gut situation, you're going to have your optimal diet that works for you. But the general way that people should be eating, especially those of us with autoimmune issues, is loads of vegetables. Here's where there's going to be a variance of the amount of fruit, right? So we don't want to be getting too much sugar, but everyone's going to have their different level, but good to eat the rainbow. Everybody should be eating the rainbow every day, not just like as a treat. And then a small amount of clean protein and a really good amount of healthy fat. And then you play with those within that range. Which are the foods that support you the best? And how much healthy fat? You know, do I do better in ketosis? Is that a lot of healthy fat? Or is it just what would be a normal amount of healthy fat, like a thumb's worth? Changing the parameters within those guidelines is where people find their wellness.
Where are some of the places that we can get good quality information on nutrition, though? Because even that's my diet. I'm eating tons more fresh vegetables. I cook them. My gut needs them to be cooked, but tons more vegetables and limited fruits that I'm enjoying and et cetera. But I found that it was really, there's so much information out there and it can be very confusing. So what are the types of people or tests that we need to know what we as an individual should be eating?
Absolutely. Two approaches, and I use them as a combined approach to really helping people identify quickly, because it could take years to figure out what you really should be eating, especially if you have a sensitivity to like a healthy vegetable, for instance. You know, that can be hidden in your diet. So I like a combination of, there are some really good food sensitivity tests out there now. And I do like that approach if that's, now I always leave it up to the client, but you know, if somebody wants to get as much information as quick as they can, I do like to incorporate the food sensitivity testing. And then on the other hand, I love to do what I would consider, you know, really a good anti-inflammatory elimination diet, because even reading something in a lab result, you know, saying that you're sensitive to a food, if you can't feel that sensitivity, it tends to be one of the things, like you were saying before, that might creep back in kind of quickly. You know, this whole I shouldn't eat something is, it's kind of a hard lifestyle. And that's how we want to approach it, as a lifestyle. So I love to use things like the autoimmune paleo approach to an elimination diet, or even what I would consider like an extended Whole 30, is if I'm working with somebody with autoimmunity, because we do tend to have more sensitivities to certain food groups. And doing an elimination diet properly, really focusing on that reintroduction, really gives us the information. So like you said, like I miss toast. I won't eat toast because it makes me so sick. Like now I know, I didn't know that when it was in my diet. So there's this reinforcement of when you get that inflammation down and you reintroduce one at a time, where your body can finally say like, oh, that one's really bad. Yeah, I don't, you know, or like, you know, a couple times a year you might entertain this one, but like, you know, it doesn't belong in your daily diet. And what I see and what I've experienced for myself is when, you know, when I have that memory, you know, I get that split second of like, ooh, that looks good. And then my body's like, yeah, no, it doesn't look good at all. I don't want it.
Oh, I know what you mean. As I was going through the elimination diet, I was feeling so great. I mean, the inflammation in my body, the pain was just decreasing exponentially and I was feeling so great. And still unclear, but I accidentally got glutened, as I like to say, and somehow.
It is a verb in my house too.
Somehow. And it was a blessing and not so much fun, because what had happened was that I thought I'd eating very clear. But then as I reflected, well, you know, I think it was cross-contamination at a restaurant I ate at. And within hours, I was just down with a massive, what I'll call, felt like a sinus headache. And that took about 24 hours to clear. And as I started to talk to my health coach about it, we detected, oh, bet you were glutened. But what was fascinating to me is for years prior to my diagnosis, I had been treated for chronic sinus infection. So years of taking antibiotic off and on because I kept getting sinus infection, it may or may not be, because this is all hindsight, but I'm wondering how much of that feeling of sinus infection may not have been the beginning of the gluten sensitivity. So it's fascinating to me how individualized it is. And also, you're shaking your head yes here. So, and how much so many of us with this autoimmune umbrella over us can really relate.
Absolutely. And I will say, full disclosure, you know, gluten is one of those foods. While I, you know, we all have an individualized diet, gluten is inflammatory, period. And so if you have an autoimmune issue and you haven't removed gluten, you don't need to get a sensitivity test. You just need to remove it and reintroduce it so you can feel.
Yeah, that was shocking. Huh?
It is shocking.
Going from feeling fantastic to within a couple of hours, just on the couch going, oh, I just can't move.
Yeah, I won't go into what my reaction was, but I had a similarly shocking reintroduction. And it was, I had gone gluten-free to support my son who'd been diagnosed celiac and was feeling a little better. What do you know? And then they wanted to do a biopsy on me to see if I had celiac as well. So they said, you need to eat 2 slices of whole wheat toast a day for 2 weeks leading up to the test. And could not, nope. Didn't happen, because when I reintroduced it, I got so sick there. I was like, there's literally no way I could do this for 2 weeks.
Well, and it's confirmation. Maybe I don't need the test.
Exactly.
In my mind, at least. Maybe you do. I'm not a medical professional, guys. I'm just saying that if I got, remembering what I went through after being accidentally exposed to it, I couldn't do that for 2 weeks.
You don't have to be celiac to need to avoid gluten.
Right. I am not celiac. And actually, interestingly, when I'm tested, I'm not tested as sensitive to it. But I don't argue how I feel.
If it makes you feel better, my son, who is definitely celiac, because now the testing has improved since he was diagnosed, which is why we needed to go by the gold standard at the time, which was biopsy. But when he's tested now, he shows is not sensitive. And I'm like, yeah, well, the fact that you haven't had it in 12 years, you know, right. would make, you know, because he was like, ooh, do you think? I'm like, no, I don't think it's a good idea, you know, to go there. So yeah, I'm not, and it's almost, with some exception, the same with finding your diagnosis. What autoimmune disease, or if you're like most of us, you know, which autoimmune diseases, you know, do you have, where doesn't change the approach I take with people. And I'm not saying, you know, absolutely go to your rheumatologist and figure out what's going on, but to a degree, it doesn't matter. It's the expression of what's happening underneath, right? And let's get to that so that you can feel better instead of worrying about what your label is on a piece of paper.
And be aware that the label can and will possibly change, whether it's an addition of another condition that pops up and you're surprised, or maybe this one goes into remission and this one comes. So yeah, it's we've got to keep an open mind after receiving any autoimmune diagnosis that it may not be the last one, and it you know, that one may disappear and another one may take its place, or you may have this period of where it's everything has stabilized. So I think that I have a mentor who years ago told me, blessed are the flexibles, for they shall not be bent out of shape. And I just kind of always remind myself about that. As one thing having an autoimmune diagnosis taught me is to be extremely flexible.
Yes. Well, and it goes back to what you said before, you know, there is no straight line to healing. It is this journey up a mountain, and there are turns in the trail, and sometimes we slip down a little, and it's not this finite, like, yes, I'm doing well, no, I'm not. Like, it's just this constant dance as our environment and our life and our bodies change, and we're both women, as our hormones change. The hormones directly in play with inflammation. So I find, yeah, there's always change. Either we're responding to it or we're creating it in this kind of dance, but it is absolutely an ongoing process no matter where we are in that journey.
Absolutely. We need to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we'll talk more with Julie about this twisty, windy road to health. And we'll be right back.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living. A chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenille.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there. Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And tonight we're here with Julie Michelson. She's a national board certified health and wellness coach and a functional medicine certified health coach. And we've just been talking all around this idea of autoimmunity. And when you get a diagnosis, it's sort of given to you as a be all end all, and this is it. When our experiences, we both have had our own journey through autoimmune, it's more like yes and no, with a great big capital no, because it's quite individualized as well. And so we've been talking about some of the commonalities and sharing our own experiences where, that wasn't quite written in the book. So we're on the topic of diet. And one of the things that we mentioned here is our own understanding of the elimination diet and how it works, and then what we can eat, and the idea we briefly touched on, this idea of cheating. What have you found? Because I found it's really sometimes well-meaning family members or friends that sort of egg you on to cheat. Oh, it's so-and-so's birthday, or, you know, just a little taste, I made it just for you. What are some tips that you have to have help family and friends understand and support us? I mean, I know that a lot of these things are done from love, but it's really sabotaged.
Absolutely. And most, yes, for the most part, they are done from love, with love. But food is a funny thing, you know, especially when it comes to families and celebrations, and all of us have, you know, history with food and emotions tied to food. And what I have found is the longer you're eating a certain way, the easier it becomes. And I try to use the, it's not you, it's me, right? Like, it's not a judgment on that beautiful cake that you have on the counter that I can't eat it, or I'm not better than you because I don't eat sugar. It's, you know, oh my gosh, how thoughtful, that looks lovely. But if I eat it, I'll get really sick. And so I really stand in, you know, this is what I have to do in order to feel well and participate fully in my life. And I'm not embarrassed about it. I bring food to every celebration I go to so that I have something that I can eat. And, you know, because that is awkward if you're eating nothing.
it is awkward.
But I try to really, again, make sure everybody knows that this is, you know, about me, a choice for me, and in no way a judgment on, you know, what you've prepared or how you eat. You know, that this is just what I've found works for me. And so I know I'm further down that road than many. Many are still in kind of that uncomfortable place where, especially going to an event, which right now might not be such a big issue. But, but you know, this parties, family dinners, you know, those are the things. And that's where I say, you know, cook and bring your own. Share your food with them. And it's less likely to be a big deal than, you know, if you're eating a carrot stick and everybody else is eating a meal.
Right. No, I like it where I bring my own. And sometimes I've found that family members are like, oh, this is good.
And they're usually shocked, right?
Yes.
Yes. Absolutely.
I introduced the idea of a cauliflower rice stir fry type of meal, and it was simple to make and easy to bring and easy to heat up and everything, but I brought enough for a fair number of people to try, and yeah. I was surprised. I went, oh, it sounds terrible, but it tastes pretty good. It's funny how with this idea that you bring your own food, or you're choosing your foods more carefully, how a lot of family members somehow think it must taste bad.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. I have friends even to this day, and friends who knew me when I was quite ill will say, I don't know how you eat the way you eat. And I'm like, do you remember when I could barely get out of bed? Like, It's actually pretty easy to eat. And again, that goes back to that reinforcement that we were talking about. You know, when you find the eating plan that serves you and that helps you feel well, that's the reinforcement that you need. Like you mentioned, you know, when you're making these changes and it's not working, well, who can stay on that diet? That's difficult.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to talk, though. I have a lot of people, and I raised my hand. I was one of them. I've been slowly adding foods back. But one of the things I want to talk is about adding back, because, gosh, when I first started, it was no nightshade, no dairy, no gluten, no sugar. I'm sure I'm leaving things out. But anyway, it was like a lot of no's, and it came down to what I would call like a handful of, air quotes, safe foods. And then I found I was getting in this rut. I'm like, I don't know how healthy that is, just eating these same handful of foods again. Let's talk a little bit about the diet. Okay, we got down to what we know we can eat. Our inflammation level's pretty okay. What are some tips you have? Like, maybe it's time to try one more veggie or one more piece of fruit, type of fruit or something.
Yes, absolutely. So ideally, the whole point of doing the elimination diet is, you know, A, to identify the triggers, but B, to allow healing. And so in the perfect world, once we healed, again, with some of those exceptions I mentioned before, like I'll pick on gluten, which is always going to be inflammatory, no matter how healed you are, we want to be able to add back in. And a lot of us get to this place where we're in our elimination phase, you know, we, like you said, successfully identified the foods that are safe and feel safe. And sometimes it can be really hard to add things back in because we don't want to feel badly again.
Exactly. So, yeah, I'm doing good almost, here. Can't we just stay here? And then you realize it's a handful of foods that you're eating, which may not be healthy either in a really long term.
Right. And yes, so ideally we want the most varied diet that supports our body. Right. And so the hope is, you know, you stay in that place of elimination, but you haven't just eliminated the foods. Hopefully you're working on healing your gut and these other lifestyle areas that are going to be reducing your inflammation. Cause you know, we pick on food cause it can be so inflammatory, and it's kind of, you know, the low-hanging fruit as far as changes we can make quickly and easily, maybe not that easily, but quickly and thoughtfully. And so hopefully you're healing and doing all these other things. You're getting your nutrient density up. You know, if you have imbalances, hopefully you've addressed those. And so, yes, I urge you, you know, if you're in that place where you've been good, and not good for a week, but good for a while, It is ideal to add foods back in, especially things like nightshades, or, you know, if there's vegetables that you're not eating, things that are going to bring a nutrient variety to you, you want to be adding them in, you know, again, carefully, thoughtfully, and, you know, don't start with a big bowl of whatever it is at this point. You know, go slow and be careful.
And one at a time. I learned that the hard way. And because like you eat something that's a mixture of several things and you don't know, was it, you know, what was it in there that.
And you have to heal again and go back and do it individually. Yeah. So yes, one at a time is sage advice.
Learn from true experience there. Oh my gosh.
Take it from Sharon. It does matter.
Yeah, it does. It does. Now, one of you mentioned that I love the metaphor of the food is the low-hanging fruit. Another one that I want to talk about, I think is overlooked, and I'm having the issue myself and a lot of people I'm talking to during this isolation period, is sleep. What my friends and myself are talking about, you know, it's been sleep disruptions. But sleep, for me, was critically important in the restoring of, you know, some semblance of health here. So, but during this lockdown time, not only am I starting to forget what day it is, but it feels like Groundhog Day, but sleep is definitely disrupted. So let's talk about some sleep hygiene tips that you have.
Absolutely. And you are not alone. We can't heal if we're not sleeping well, because that, you know, our healing happens in our sleep. So It's a huge priority. You can tell by my geeky expression, I'm excited you brought it up. And yes, most especially in this time, even people that, like, it sounds like what you were one of them that, you know, was in a good routine and it maybe has kind of started to slip away a little bit. So that would be, for me, step one is creating that routine, even if you're not leaving your house or driving to work or, you know, if you haven't yet created, it's time to, or recreate, so that you're going to bed around the same time every night and you're getting up around the same time every morning. And then obviously, optimally, you want to be making sure that that leaves you, you know, enough sleep. Which for more than people like to admit is close to 8 hours for most of us.
You know, what's so funny you say about the routine. I actually had tried to do it over a period of years, get on to a morning exercise video online type of thing. And I'd signed up for a couple of groups, but they were like, watch the video type of thing. They weren't with a live expert.
No accountability.
So I joined one where she's there every morning, you know, every morning, and she's doing the routine and there's accountability. She gently, but, you know, you okay if you're not there type of thing. So that has helped me, number one, because it's just Monday through Friday that she doesn't do it on the weekend, helps me know what day of the week it is, which is surprising to me that I would lose track of that because I've worked from home for years, but I had a different structure. And then this idea of accountability with a live instructor online, I have a new appreciation for the online class. It's a wonderful class of some Qigong and then some meditation. It's a wonderful way to start your day.
That's a great way to start your day. Yeah, that's fantastic. So that sets that, you know, that morning time, you're getting up in time for class. And then I say, work that backwards, right? To see what time you should ideally be going to bed to get to sleep for a good 8 hours.
Absolutely. And to figure that out too. And the other weird thing is when I first started through this journey of isolation, I was really just binge watching, just a lot of binge watching. Even if I wasn't watching it, it was on. And you're, yes, sort of binge listening, I guess you would call that. Really making the decision to turn that off. I got some music that I really like, and now I just have the music on, and I've got different types of music, some, you know, upbeat and some chanting and different types of music that I can play. But I think it's critically important to not allow myself to slip into some habits that could easily slip into post-isolation times of life too. That would be harder to readjust to.
Absolutely. And the binge watching is, I've been like a broken record with that because so many have fallen into that. I mean, it's a little odd, as you said, it's like Groundhog Day, right? So it's almost like a giant slumber party where we things we wouldn't have been doing 6 months ago, you know, you wouldn't have thought like, I'm going to stay up and, you know, binge some shows in the middle of the week. You know, now that kind of stuff does creep in. So kudos to you for catching it and setting some boundaries. But what I love what you did, this goes back to this routine idea. You didn't just say to yourself, you're not allowed to do that. I'm not doing that anymore.
Well, that doesn't work for me. I would have, that little thing on my shoulder, that little twin on my shoulder would have really rebelled. So
yeah, but I love it because that is part of, it's not just when do you go to bed? It's what do you do leading up to bed, right? So playing that music is part of your bedtime ritual. I love it.
I got this. It's actually a local group. I'm from Oregon, as people know. It's actually an Oregon group. They do some of the most beautiful chants, and it's amazing. I got that, and I was just like, not only did I want to support local musicians, which was, I kind of bought a lot of their CDs but just to support them, I just fell in love with them because it is so relaxing. Absolutely so relaxing. It reminds me of times in Europe where I've been at different places where they'd had live chanting, and however this group does the acoustics, it's just like, wow, it sounds just like when I was at these live events. So anyway, that's my little story there. We need to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we'll talk more with Julie just about this idea of, okay, so we've gotten past some of these habits. How do we continue to optimize? We'll be right back.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the OM Times Experts program. With OM Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, sorry, I'm rambling, you say, thank you for listening. Join us at ProjectForgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And tonight we're here with Julie Michelson, and she's a National Board Certified Health and Wellness Coach, a Functional Medicine Certified Coach, and she specializes in autoimmunity. And she's been sharing with us tips to thrive despite our autoimmune disease and tips to survive during this time of isolation, as well as, you know, one size doesn't fit all. And that's what I love about her process and her approach is it isn't strict dogma. It's like, well, let's see. So now that we've adhered to our diet, we're doing better on our sleep, maybe we're beginning to feel better. What are some things that you have found people can do to continue to optimize? Because I don't want to plateau out at just feeling better.
Yeah, that is not the point. It should be, like I said before, you know, it's this ongoing process. And my goal for everybody is, at least this has been my experience and my journey of, you know, I am always astounded at how well I feel. You know, we talked about looking back. When I look back, I'm so grateful to feel how well I do. And I always think like, this is it, you know, this is as good as I can feel. And it's as good as I need to feel. And then I realize 6 months later that, you know, I feel even better. It is this ongoing process. I think, you know, if we've got diet dialed in and again, we're continuing to play with that, and we same with our sleep, I always kind of right up there with diet and sleep is stress management. You know, what kind of stress management routine do you have in place, and does it work for you? So again, it's not this prescriptive, well, everybody should just meditate twice a day, period.
Well, that didn't work for me.
Great. But exactly. I actually meet more people who, when they hear the word meditation, you know, their cortisol surges and it stresses them out.
Well, either that or it just stresses it. Oh, I didn't meditate twice today. And you start down that road, you know, that other road.
Yeah, right. It's another area where, you know, yeah, I deeply believe it's an important part of healing for everyone, but again, it's going to look different. So for me, my stress management routine, although I have to admit, I do meditate twice a day, but it took me a long time to get to a place where I thought that was a good idea. But my true, like, valued stress management is time with my horses. That's what I do daily. that, you know, I can just feel the blood pressure settling and the inflammation going down and the happiness elevating. That obviously isn't going to be everybody's idea of a good time.
My mind immediately went to, yeah, no. Not only because I don't have horses, but no.
So I take a very non-scientific approach to stress management. My question for all of you to answer is, you know, what do you love? What fills your cup? What makes you happy? And then, you know, get creative and build a routine around that. And sometimes it's, you know, what did you used to love to do? So many of us have lost touch with just hobbies and joys that we had at some point.
Yeah, and go all the way back to your childhood, guys.
Yeah.
It's okay to
go.
Really. I used to like to color.
That's good. That's where the good stuff is, really. So, you know, it's a personalized approach, but kind of no excuses, because there is not a human who doesn't experience stressors all day long. And so we just really need to balance that out in order to optimize our wellness.
And during this time too, it's okay to have a change. You know, instead of having tea with a girlfriend, we have Zoom tea. So, you know,
yes.
And that is not quite the same as being able to see her and, you know, chat with her. But it's still delightful to have that connection. So I think flexibility, besides if you don't have horses, the flexibility. And what came up for me when you said horses is walking.
Yes.
And
yeah.
I live in a neighborhood that a lot of people walk, but I absolutely love that they're all very respectful and give you wide berth. So
wonderful. Wonderful. And that's the formula, right? My joy is blank. And fill in the blank.
And it doesn't have to be one thing. I mean, I can list several other joyful things. If it's pouring down rain, I might not be walking, but there are other things here that I'll be doing.
Yes, and that's the beauty. All of us have more than one thing that can bring us some joy. And I have to touch on, you mentioned connection. My Inspired Living program has five prongs, if you will, or five areas, and connection is one of them. So at this time, you know, the reason I'm highlighting it, you brought it out, you cracked the door open.
Of course, let's run down that rabbit hole. I love rabbit holes.
It's so important for us, to maintain that connection. And yes, like you mentioned, it's different, right? We're not sitting down together at tea in person. But I urge everybody to, you know, reach out to your friends and family and, you know, use Zoom, use FaceTime, whatever platform you have that's easy to use. You'd be surprised. I know some really older people that are using Zoom and FaceTime, you know, adeptly. So friends and family, just stay connected, make some time to be with them.
Absolutely. And another thing that's happened for me is twofold, is I'll get a phone call out of the blue from someone I have lost touch with, maybe for, you know, 3, 6, 8, 9 months, or maybe it's just the holidays I talk to them or whatever it is. And I was so tickled. At first, I'm sort of like, oh, this is where my mind went, oh my gosh, I hope they're okay. I wonder why they're calling me. And then I answered, you know, and it was just, oh, I just wanted to check in and say hi and see how you were doing. And I thought, well, how delightful it was that. And I had like 3 or 4 of those in a row a few weeks ago. And I've just said, you know, that was really kind of delightful. So I've started doing it to other contacts just to check in. It's just been really nice. And the other thing that I've been doing is sending more cards, the traditional mail way, not email,
like
way.
Real cards.
But since I'm limited in where I'm going these days and I've got, you know, the deliveries and all of that, I actually been making cards, and that's kind of fun too.
Well, that falls right back into the stress management, crafty, you know, fill your cup.
Yes. Almost like Valentine's Day, you know, cutting out little hearts and things like that. It's a lot of fun. I have a lot of craft things here that my granddaughter and I do together, but the idea of me sitting here doing a card by myself and sending it out to a friend was very remote, we'll say 2 months ago, but now not so. Now it's really delightful. I'm glad that I've been able to make the space to do that.
That's a beautiful thing. And that's there you are embracing change, that, you know, we're always having to get creative with, you know, well, here's where I am now. And really what you're doing is sending that connection and that love. I mean, that's just pure love. Whoever receives that card that you made is receiving love. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. Well, my granddaughter, I've got a pile over there that she's sending me all the time that she's making. Plus, you know, a wonderful thing, this is being, since it's after Mother's Day, the wonderful thing is she drew a beautiful picture and her parents put on a tote bag for me. And I was just aww, like, oh, that was so wonderful. To me, that's just, you know, beyond anything else I could have really. It's just a darling picture. And I know we'll years from now reflect on it. But I just, it just looks so professional to me. It's like, oh, I'll take that everywhere. But we're down to just, oh, I don't know, the last 6 minutes or so, Julie. Any final thoughts and tips that we haven't covered yet?
One of my other favorite areas to cover when we talk about this continuum of optimizing health is toxins, and precisely toxins in your home, the things that we can control in our environment where we all, especially now, really spend a lot of time. But even in general, I like to think of it as creating a safe space. We're all bombarded by toxins, you know, everywhere we go. And I don't say that in a doom and gloom way. I say it in a take control, right? If we can reduce them in our home and, you know, in and on our bodies, well, then, you know, we can handle what's out in the world so much better. So one of my favorite things to do with people, because I am a bit of a nerd, is to help them go through. Usually we start with like personal care products, and go through, you know, literally everything that you use that's in your bathroom, from toothpaste to deodorant to hair products, you name it. If it goes on or in your body, we look at what's in it. And I am one, I'm not super great with like naming the thousands of chemical names that you don't want on your body. I like to shortcut and make life easy. So I love the resource Environmental Working Group, EWG.org. That's how I look for or check out the products I already have to make sure that they're as clean as I think they are. It's just an easy, like I said, shortcut to use to know, because unfortunately right now, so many products are packaged as green or clean.
Or natural. A lot of things are natural, but you don't want to ingest or put them on your body.
All that mercury that's already in my body is pretty natural, but I don't want it in there anymore. So while those are attractive words to us, right? Natural, organic, clean, green. I offer that, you know, you do your homework and you check. And then I expand from that to, you know, literally all your cleaning products in your home. And then I would invite you to look in your kitchen cabinets. You know, what kinds of pots and pans are you using? Do they all have a nonstick coating? I had researched like crazy probably 5 years ago to find clean, you know, truly healthy nonstick pans. And so I did a bunch of research and I bought a brand that's still out there, very popular, of like ceramic, because at the time I had read that was clean. And I don't have those anymore either. I think I only had them for 2 years before I learned that, no, there's still stuff leaching into my food. And not to overwhelm, but the last thing I would say, if you're, you know, when you're in the kitchen and you're opening those drawers, is how much plastic do you have in your kitchen? Yeah. You know, are you putting hot foods into plastic containers? And so I'm not saying everybody needs to, you know, take a day and do a clean sweep in their house. It's a process like everything else. But I am a fan of, you know, glass and stainless steel. And I experienced lead poisoning from the beautiful dishes that were handed down to me from my mom. You know, were our family dishes and we all loved, and I loved the patterns, and finally figured out where my lead toxicity was coming from. So just this bringing awareness to, you know, what's in your home, what are you living with, right? So that we can just reduce those levels.
Oh, it's critically important. And shocked at all the things I had here. Even after the autoimmune diagnosis, I thought I was clean living. And then I looked at things, I was like, wow. But you're right. I did not do that all in one fell swoop. It was over time, it got taken care of. Now, you have a wonderful PDF that you have for us. Tell us a little bit about the 3 steps to thrive.
I do. So this covers a lot of the stuff we've already talked about as far as three of, I would say, top important things to do. Number one being food, you know, make sure that you're not eating inflammatory stuff. So again, talking about this individualized thing. And then step two would be the stress management, which we touched on lightly. And then step three covers what I was just talking about, the toxins, looking around your home. And again, you know, if it's something you haven't focused on yet, I would suggest you start with personal care products. And if you are like Sharon and myself, and you've been on that journey for a while, you might just look with fresh eyes and see if there's an area that you hadn't thought about.
Thank you, Julie, for being on the show. That's Julie Michelson. And Julie, what's the URL that you have for us to get our PDF?
JulieMichelson.com/your-autoimmune coach.
And Julie, spell your name. Pronounce it Michelson, but it's not spelled that way, I found out.
So I say it is spelled wrong. It is M-I-C-H-E-L-S-O-N. It is missing the A, but we do pronounce it Michelson.
Okay, great. We'll have that over at understandingautoimmune.com. Also, if you didn't catch the exact spelling or the URL, it's JulieMichelson.com/your-autoimmune-coach. So everyone, that's to get the 3 steps to thrive despite your disease. And everyone, have a great week. Whatever your adventures, join me next week for another brand new episode. Enjoy.
The information provided on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, including the websites understandingautoimmune.com and lifeinterruptedradio.com, plus social media, is for educational purposes only. What you read, hear, and see on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, and its websites and other media outlets is based on experience only. The information should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes. Always seek sound legal, medical, and or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio.